Bible to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I'd like to have a word of prayer with you before I read the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, there you go, just taken off before I had a word of prayer. Hang on, I want to pray before I read the scriptures. Father, I do want to pray before I read the scriptures. I'm asking you to bless the word of God to our heart. I'm praying that it would have free course and be glorified. And I pray that you would minister to our hearts. I believe that we are in the latter days, and I pray you give us a strong fourth quarter. You would bless us. Everybody here would choose to live for God until Jesus calls our name. I command the spirit of darkness to leave us alone. So many distractions. Pray for that the blood of the Lamb would just cover us. Would you bless now your reading? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive ye not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And you could just keep right on going. You realize it is written to the house of Israel, of course. But I think there's some personal applications we can make out of this passage of scripture for us today. And I'm going to challenge you to think about what Isaiah saw, what Isaiah heard, what Isaiah sensed, what Isaiah learned that caused him to become a great volunteer. And you know what's great about a volunteer? It's pretty hard to stop them. And my wife volunteers down at the cancer shop. And it's funny, we'd be running a few minutes later. She says, What are they going to do, fire me? You know, amen. It's pretty hard to stop a volunteer. I think we won the Civil War because of a bunch of volunteers. Pretty hard to stop them. In fact, it took Jesus Christ to Calvary, didn't it? Philippians chapter 2. He purposed to come here, and like Pastor said this morning, he wanted to do that. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten. So he volunteered to come here, but to go to Calvary. And it took Paul to Colossae, which was his second missionary journey. He got rocked in the head the first time he went out there, up in that area, what is now modern-day Turkey. And they stoned him, and the guy goes back. We're working our way through the book of Acts, verse by verse, into chapter 13 and 14. You see the guy go out there on his first missionary journey, and they stone him. And he gets back and goes right back to the very people that stoned him. And you're like, what is driving this man? But he wanted to go there. He wasn't being paid to go there. He wanted to. Man, that guy got converted out of religion. And once he found Christ, he couldn't help but tell people about Jesus Christ. He wanted to go. Well, what is it going to take to stop you living right here in America in 2018? You need to be a bond slave for Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about a strong fourth quarter. I was given this book. It was my 58th birthday this year, and a fellow missionary named Don Thatcher. He's down in Waterford, about 3 hours south of where we work. And we love their family. Been working with those guys since they came there and helping move into their home and stuff. And we went down. They wanted to throw a little party for my birthday. His wife said we were coming, so he grabbed a book out of his bookcase, never even read it before, and gave it to me. One thing about being a missionary, you know, you surrender to go to the mission field. I did that back in, I don't know, just after the fall of the Twin Towers. I think Sharon booked our flights to go to Ireland. And you surrender to go. And it, man, it was a bittersweet because of some of the things that were happening in our own home church at the time. There had been a split and things, and I was struggling to even leave that. But I still sense the Lord had been leading us over there. We've got a perfect invitation to go, and with Richard Fulton and them, and I wanted to go, and so there was this pull. So we surrendered to go. Now, Pastor said we've been there 17 years. Well, you know, after our first couple years, and the kids, the empty nest starts happening, you know, the first one goes, and that's like changes your world forever, as much as it did the first day it came into your world. And then the second one left out. You know, they went to Bible college, and that was something. And when the third one left, that's Josiah. Man, that was a big old hole in my heart. And it was hard to, to just stay there because all the boys had come back to America. And fine, I said, you know what? I think God wants us to stay here. We're just going to keep on going. We did. But, boy, Christmas comes along. Thanksgiving's come along. Birthdays come along, graduations come along, all that stuff comes along, and you're like, your heart is going, one thing to volunteer to go, but counting the cost is hard. You cannot see what's out there. And the thing's pulling me. I frankly, after talking to these people and the struggles that go with the day-to-day, just trying to lead people to Christ and seeing just the issues that come and go, and I was struggling, honestly. But he gave me this book written by Don Sisk. It's called Fourth Quarter, a strong fourth quarter, and I started reading the book. And now we got an invitation. We got somebody actually provided some monies to us, and we decided to come home for a couple weeks. And that book really blessed my heart. Well, then I got it. Then Pastor said, "Hey, why don't you guys come out here and talk?" And I knew what I was going to talk about tonight a couple weeks ago, and it's this right here. I thought, yeah, but there's a whole bunch of retired people down there in Florida. You sure you want me to talk about that? I don't want to offend nobody and stuff like that. But no, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the fourth quarter. We're in it right now. The Lord's been gone for 1,985 years, but he promised he would come back. Hadn't even been 2,000 years. It sure seems like a long time. And it is easy, and a lot of people are, you know, I talked to guys and girls over there in Ireland, and I don't care to hear about a 2,000-year-old book, and I said, it's not 2,000 years old. It's 6,000 years old. 6,000, and it's still as good as it was back then today, and challenging those guys. Now, the challenge here is to, for a strong fourth quarter, Don had been a missionary in Japan, and then he became director of the Baptist International Missions. At the time he retired, he was presiding over 1,000 missionaries in over 90 different countries with 8,000 supporting churches, an annual budget of over $30 million, and he was glad to retire when the time came from all the pressures involved in that. But then when he did retire, he said, I'm not going to stop serving the Lord. Amen. And so he to this day, in fact, Pastor told me today he'd ask him to come here. He said, no, I'm booked up. I got no time to come to you, man. People are asking me to come. I don't know why they're asking me, but they are. And so he's out there. So he's still preaching mission conferences and traveling around to foreign fields and helping train others. And his advice is, go ahead. Yeah, retire. You may need to retire from the place you're at, but never, never retire. And wouldn't it be weird if the coach pulled his team, best players at the fourth quarter, you know, you're going into the game, and now they've been really good, but he takes out his players because, well, he'd give them a break. Let someone else do it. You're not going to win very much like that. There's all kinds of illustrations we could take from football games and baseball games and all manner of sports games where They were down real bad, and they came back and won. I want to read to you just a little bit from something Don wrote in this book about a game between Kentucky and LSU. I just heard that one this morning, which is kind of funny. And I want to pick this up here and just read you a little bit and bring you up to what was happening. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of stuff. I don't care. I just want to give you some of the scores and just see what was happening. I think at halftime, they were down 48-32. And then when they came back, they picked up. It was LSU was leading 57-37. Kentucky hadn't had none of their starters had even got a good shot off in the first half. And they came back, and one of their men from Kentucky, there was a couple Kentucky turnovers. A Caesar basket free throw brought the score to 64-37. A few more put Louisiana up by 68-37. They had the largest lead of the night. And the Tigers went on with an 18-0 run against the Cats to create this lead. Kentucky could have folded their tents and gone home. But instead, they tried almost nothing but three-point shots. They were able to shave the lead a bit. LSU visibly relaxed. They thought they had the game in the bag, and they got careless with their passes. They missed free throw opportunities, and then the UK brought it up within 12 points. And then, after a few consecutive three-pointers to bring the Cats within 10, McCarty made an inside shot, cut the margin from 82-74. Burns and Rhodes fouled out. A layup by Ford and a basket by Titus led to an LSU margin of 87-78. Despite making a few more turnovers, UK chiseled away at the lead. When LSU became even sloppier, their hot shooting, which was 68% for field goals, deserted them. A Ford three-pointer brought the score to 88-82. Henderson made a three, then Ford made an uncharacteristic travel. And then to cut it short, Kentucky got up to within 3 points, 93-90. Caesar was fouled out on a drive, hit his free throws, making the score 95-90. Within a minute and 40 seconds remaining, Tony Delk hit a three-pointer, which brought the score to 95-93. And rather than using up the clock, LSU turned the ball over, and the Tigers lost the ball again. UK missed a three-point shot. Brassaw was fouled out, and they missed a few free throws. But let me just finish this reading. McCarty hit a three-pointer from the corner right in front of the Kentucky bench, who was yelling at him to shoot. His goal put the Wildcats up 96-95 with 19 seconds remaining. LSU called its last timeout with 11.5 seconds left in the game. They needed to set up a scoring play. Kentucky saw the offensive set at the Tigers, called its own last timeout. LSU ended up getting off a poor shot. Tony Delk rebounded with a 4.4 seconds left. He was immediately fouled. He missed his first free throw, but hit the second for 97-95 lead. To bring the ball in, LSU threw a long pass down the court, but the LSU player fell down, was called for traveling. Ford was fouled on the inbound play, hit both his free throws with 2.2 seconds left, and that was the game. The final score was 99-95. Kentucky outscored LSU 62-27 in the second half of the game. The biggest upset, and I think the basketball for a long time. And you probably remember, you know, Brady and them guys coming back from nowhere and just keep on fighting and then turn the game over. Half the punters already left thinking they had it in the bag, only to find out on the way home their team lost. Oh, man. But they kept on fighting in the last quarter, and that's why they won. Now, let me challenge you a little bit here. Isaiah was called. He'd got a burden. And I want to give you a little bit of that. Go back and look at what he saw. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw heavenly creatures lifting him up. And you know what I wonder? I wonder if Isaiah saw a future Jesus Christ sitting on the throne who'd already won the victory. Well, the Bible does say it, and if you happen to have a King James Bible, it's a capital L, little O-R-D, sitting on that throne. Well, he wasn't sitting on that throne until after he died and was buried and rose again, ascended in heaven. Then he sat down. Isaiah saw that. I wonder if that's what caused him to become such a great volunteer. What he saw, the Lord high. What did he hear in verse 3? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And you might say, And I think people do say, well, it might have been full of the glory of God then, but it sure isn't now. Really? You think about it, after 6,000 years of mankind purveying it, pulverizing it, and paving it over, practically destroying it, the whole earth is still full of the glory of God, if you ask me. Early this morning, about 6 o'clock, I was walking around. Yeah, I got out, and I was scared to go back there by the wood last night because I don't want some alligator or something jumping on me because I'm from Michigan and been living in Ireland. They don't have, there's not one dangerous critter in Ireland except maybe the pine marten. You'd have to make it pretty mad. There's some badgers and stuff like that, but I was a little timid to go back there. But this morning I got up, sun was starting to rise up the horizon. I'm walking up, and I climbed up the stairs because the sun was starting to come up over here, and I got up there, and the rail moved, and I'm like, what was that? It was a tree frog, but it freaked me out. And I saw that thing leap. I said, how in the world are they getting way in the world up here? Then he took a flying leap about 10 feet, flew. What kind of engineering goes into the catapult in that kind of frog's legs to leap for about 10 feet and then stick to the... And I looked even more, and there were these little ones, only about that big. They're babies. We're climbing this thing, which, you know, would be like trying to climb Mount Everest probably from... For that size of a little frog, fascinating. Earth is full of the glory of God. We drove home today and saw about 8 of these vultures out there trying to consume something on the side of the road. What kind of technology goes into allowing that bird? You eat one bad piece of hamburger and your belly's all messed up. How do they do that? Gobble that stuff down like it's nothing. I don't know. Earth is full of the glory of God. After 7 billion people plus on the planet, magnificent cities, magnificent countries, magnificent cultures, still teem with wildlife and God wonders in the land, on the earth, and in the sea. Still there. And it ain't been 6 billion years. Fascinating. You get down to the nuclear level and the earth is full of the glory of God. They saw that. And they couldn't help but just praise God. What did Isaiah sense, though, after being in that court and seeing this, at least in the spirit? Verse 4 of chapter 6 says, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of it. Yeah, that sounds familiar to me. Does that sound familiar to you? I think we all feel that. So I'm undone. I'm unclean. And I'm surrounded with it. 2018. You ever felt that way? So what was your response, though? Retreat? Or repent? Isaiah sensed his iniquity just being in the presence of God. And it just stirred him. Man, I'm unclean. I'm undone. I'm in a bunch of people. I feel the same exact way. When you get closer to God, you feel that way. I know that. Well, what did he learn from this? In verses 6 and 7, what did he learn? Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. He was touched by holy fire. Have you been touched by holy fire? I know one thing. When you do get touched by holy fire, it cleans up your mouth. After I graduated from boot camp in Chicago, Illinois, I went off and joined a ship. I came down here for training in Orlando for about 8 weeks. Then I took a ship over in Italy. And I learned from those guys how to talk the way the 9-year-olds talk in Ireland on the streets. The 65-year-old women walking on the road dropping their bombs all over the place. And you're like, are you kidding me? I live in a people of unclean lips. We live in a world of it. It's a challenge. But retreat is not the answer. A strong fourth quarter. That's what we need. We got to press on. And I don't know about you, but I know this. A lot of people are feeling like, man, the Lord's been gone for a long time, and we just see things drying up. We see people. This was such a blessing to me today. It was refreshing to come to your church. Seeing a whole bunch of visitors here today. He read John 3:16. I've read it 100 times. No, I would have been saved about 36 years.
But I've read it a lot of times.
And I quoted it a lot of times. But when you read it this morning, my heart was touched. Isn't that great? A living word of God. What are we going to do? We can't just step aside. Man, there's a whole bunch of people that need to get saved. Yeah? So what are you going to do with your life? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He heard that holy, holy, holy. He sensed he was a sinner. He sensed the glory of God. He felt things just moving around him. But he learned that it really doesn't take much to get right with God. Touched his lips with a hot coal. Instantly purged. And he knew it. He was taken from the bondage of sin. Thine iniquity is taken away, the angel said to him. He was thoroughly prepared for God's service when the Bible says, thy sin is purged. If you've been touched with that holy fire, if you've been taken from the bondage of sin, and if you've been cleansed, you're thoroughly prepared. Thoroughly prepared for the fourth quarter of this. We're living in it right now. Same thing happens to us when we get saved. You're touched with that holy fire. Take it from the bondage of sin and then prepared to serve the King of Kings. It does not matter what the world is doing right now. And I don't know how to do it. I struggle with that sometimes, to cut myself off from the way the world is going. Because I look at them. You sit in the airport and you're watching, the way the people are getting on today and pretending like you can do whatever you want without any consequences. But the wheels of God's judgment turn very slow, but they keep right on turning. And they might, I'm not even going to go into some of the wicked stuff that people do. You know yourself, though, in our day and age. It hurts, and it almost makes you want to just hang it up. But that's just the exact opposite. Isaiah was challenged by all this stuff. Yeah, so what do you do? Now, the fire, I guess the fire may go down, the fervor may wane, but it will never go out. And God convicted Don here to when he retired, he said he was going to try and use every day of his life to live for the glory of God. I was so happy to report this year when a church asked to make a report of our work, and I could say, no, there weren't that many people born again. There weren't that many people baptized, but I'll tell you this much. I didn't miss a day of talking to somebody about the Lord, except when I was sick for about a week. And I thought I was glad that I actually chose to try and talk to somebody about the Lord. I've already failed this year. There was a couple days when I just was so frustrated I didn't want to talk. And then I got this book, and it challenged me to keep on going. That's kind of why I guess I'm sharing that with you tonight. Lord don't want us to stop. In fact, Isaiah, after he'd been touched, after he'd heard all that, he sensed all that, look what he does. After he'd heard it, he learned what God could do, how he could cleanse. He decided to be a simple volunteer. And when the Lord said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He said, here am I. Well, send me. And the Lord said, okay. You volunteering to go? Yes, sir. You know what they tell you after you've been in the Navy for a while? They say, N-A-V-Y, never again volunteer yourself. That is a dumb thing to say. But and the Irish have a saying that no good deed goes unpunished. And it's sick. I know, I wish I'd never heard that one before. Because I like to do, help people. And you're working away on something, you're helping them, and you're thinking, well, what am I going to happen next? Hate that saying. But it's just about true. And the devil will find some way to make you wish you never stepped out of your comfort zone or got hurt. Paul the apostle got stoned in the head. And to the very people that just about killed, they drug him out of town like a dead deer. They all stood there looking at him. And then he got back up. And he said, we got to go back there. Them people need the Lord. Like, unbelievable. What made him do that? It has to be that he was a volunteer. It couldn't be that he was being paid to do that. It wasn't worth it. Somehow he was moved, just like Isaiah. He had been touched with that fire. He'd been cleansed, and he knew it, and these guys were going to hell. And he just felt like, I'm going to go. And the Lord said, okay. You go right ahead. And he starts to go. Now, this is really interesting. He says, here am I. Send me. I want to just add this to you. I've been talking about Baptist International Mission because Don Sisk was the director of that. But I'm here with Baptist World Mission over there in Ireland. And do you know that Baptist World Mission only has two fertile replacement people right now? I have a little text. My wife read it to me. She said the meeting went real well this morning. People came out, and the guy that I asked to fill in is an Irish man. He's been studying Greek. And he's. I think he should be the pastor at that church. You pray and ask God, put him in there. We need an Irishman to take the work. But there were people that came out, and I was so delighted. And actually, they had a good service this morning. And I praise God for that. An Irishman stood up and took the place. It's so good. And then evening, and asked you to pray today in our Sunday school that God would bless this evening service. Haven't heard that report yet. Baptist World Mission has two couples that go and replace missionaries so they can go home on furlough. Too. It would be kind of cool if somebody who was retired and knew the Lord and knew they'd been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, knew they'd been cleansed, and knew they were fit for the service to go babysit a church for a couple months so the guys could come home, raise support, see their kids. I challenge you. Amen. Do something amazing in the fourth quarter. Volunteer to be a furlough replacement. Ask Baptist World Mission what you could do. That'd be amazing. And the Bible says that every creature on earth needs to hear the love of God. We heard that this morning really good. It's for everybody. And every church needs disciples. And I was blessed this morning to be in Brother Pott's Sunday school class. And he said, yeah, I'm a retired pastor, been out for about 45 years. But it was fun to sit there and listen to him trying to teach the younger men to get up and go do something. I love that. Making disciples, that's what the Lord told us to do. And so I think the strong fourth quarter is going to demand that people don't just quit. Even though we've retired, and even though we want to have our own time. And I totally understand that. But we can't just stop and let the world go to hell because, you know, we're retired. I want to challenge you tonight to have a strong fourth quarter. Isaiah said, I will go. Now here's the interesting thing. He did go. He was going to go. And his story, apparently, the guy wasn't very fruitful. In fact, his message he gave, it was going to make the people not even want to hear it. Isn't that what the Lord said? Make the heart of this people fat, verse 10. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert. How'd you like to be ordained to a ministry where you're trying to get them to not believe, let alone the work of trying to get them to believe? Can't imagine. Can't imagine. And he said, how long should I do it? And the Lord said, and I think this is interesting, that last verse right there, when he said in verse 11, how long, Lord? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man. It hadn't happened yet. Has it happened yet? It hadn't happened yet. That has not happened yet. It's gonna. You know, Israel was taken out of their land. That is true. They were, but they're back there now. The Lord's going to come back. It's true. And when you ask, how long should I keep going? I guess the answer is till there aren't any more men, or else he takes us out of here. Amen. I'd like to challenge you tonight. Choose to serve the Lord until your dying day. And I'm not talking about being a pastor or a missionary. I'm talking about just where we are right here. In a land that's, you know, has turned away from God and just decided, that's old history. Don't need that stuff anymore. Even though, you know, Christian believers are proving every day there's no such thing as evil, evolution. The closer you look to the nuclear level, the farther out you go, you find order. And that proves there's a designer. And Jesus Christ claimed he was going to come back and get us. He will keep his word because he cannot lie. The devil can't tell the truth, but God can't lie. And the challenge is for us to keep right on going. And frankly, I don't know if I stay in Ireland forever. I didn't plan on it. And that doesn't even matter. I know this. I want to serve the Lord until I'm dead and give him all my days, who gave me so much when he voluntarily gave his son to save me.
Who will go?
We need a strong fourth quarter. We don't want to give up now. Pressing into that fourth quarter is very difficult. You're tired. Everybody else wants to quit. You just like to quit too. But if you're going to win, you're going to have to rely on it. Watch that movie, Facing the Giants. Don't you quit. Every year I watch the thing again. Just so the guy, I listen to hear him yell at me, don't you quit. You keep going. Give God everything you got. Well, I'd like to challenge you tonight to do that too. Give God what you have. I'd like to close in a word of prayer tonight.